Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Sally Elcordi, and welcome to Public Advocate. Tonight is the last day in September because tomorrow is October Vaccine Injury Awareness Month. And the people on the Facebook page CDC Whistleblower Community are having a Twitter storm. Now, Michelle is the one who contacted me, Michelle Taft-Schneider, and she's going to be calling into the show shortly to tell everybody to join the Twitter storm October 1st and give you the particulars. So if you'd like to contact me about an extremely big event on October 3rd, Friday, here in New York City, you can either reach me at the link directly under the screen or send me a message at International Vaccine Injury Awareness. Okay? So both of those links are under the screen on this program. So open the program at the link and then scroll down. You'll see two ways to contact me if you live in or near New York City. There is an event so immense on Friday morning that you will absolutely want to shoot yourself if you miss it and you care about vaccine injury. It's huge. So let's see if, oh, my friend has called in. Wonderful. Hello, Michelle. Welcome.
Hi, Sally. How are you?
Would you like me to refer to you as Michelle Taft-Schneider or Michelle Schneider?
Michelle Schneider is fine.
Okie dokie. Now, Schneider is a huge name when it comes to CDC and whistleblowers, and between yourself and Melissa and Rob, I don't know. We have to get all the Schneiders on board. If all the Schneiders in the world will come forward at this moment in history, we can beat this rap. Really?
Absolutely.
Don't you think?
I married into a good name, apparently.
Well, obviously. So, all right, dear. Tell us all about your group on Facebook and what you have planned for October International Vaccine Injury Awareness Month.
Well, a group of us has come together. Basically, we're all parent advocates, and we were understandably disturbed when the allegations came out about the CDC whistleblower and scientific fraud at the CDC. We gathered together and put all of our energy and brain power into trying to get this story heard in any way we could. And we came to the realization recently that we can't get the public to understand that autism is a vaccine injury if they don't understand that vaccines can cause injury to begin with. And we knew that there was a large group of very vocal parents who have experienced vaccine injury and even vaccine death, but their children are not on the spectrum. And we knew that they would want to get involved and have their stories heard because they're as dismissed as we are on a regular basis. So I reached out to you. I reached out to other vaccine injury pages and groups on Facebook and even some state-level vaccine choice groups. And now we are going to do a Twitter takeover, what I'm calling a Twitter storm, tomorrow, all day, using hashtag VaxTruth, that's VaxTruth, as well as our old standbys that we've been using for several weeks of hashtag HearThisWell and hashtag CDC Whistleblower. We're encouraging everybody to share their stories. As powerful as they are, there's no way that we can be ignored if we get all the thousands of people involved that we know are out there just looking for a way to be acknowledged.
Right. Well, you have evidence, and Representative Bill Posey is looking for evidence. So send your stories, send your videos, give the man as much evidence as he needs because it's overwhelming. We are millions strong. So if we can't move heaven and earth being millions and strong, it may be just left to the Schneiders.
I can't carry that weight. I mean, I'm happy I'm happy to do my part. But it's, you know, somebody said to me recently that they get very dismayed when they look at the future of the country. But when they see autism parents and parents of vaccine injured kids who are pulling their kids out of this depth of pain, he feels basically that we could carry the future of the country on our backs because we have that sort of resiliency, that nonstop energy to fix what's going on with our kids and other people's kids, and this drive to prevent this in other people's children just by educating them about things that their doctors should discuss with them but don't.
Well, I would like to tell you something about how I came to this knowledge, because it's my sister was one of the canaries in the coal mine. She was diagnosed as severely mentally retarded and lived a miserable existence in institutions where she was further tested on with vaccines. However, as time went on, I kept noticing more and more children who reminded me of my sister, and I started to stop the parents and say, "Hi, my name is Sally. My sister was severely mentally retarded. What's the matter with your kid?" Can you imagine saying that to a complete stranger? Well, these parents, who are often ignored or avoided by the general public when they see a problemed child, they were very forthcoming. And all of them said, although I never asked the question, all of them said, "But my doctor said it wasn't the vaccine." So that's how I learned it was the vaccine.
Yeah. If you hear doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor ignore symptoms, ignore the timing, ignore the experiences of all of these families, you start to understand that this is such an entrenched problem that this goes a lot deeper than most of us want to admit. And that's what's so scary to many parents, is that the very foundation upon which children's health in this country exists is cracked. It's fraudulent. It's completely flawed. And it's, and to some, you know, they hold it like a religion. So it can be extremely upsetting. It completely rocks the boat. And thank goodness for people like you and organizations like Thinking Moms Revolution and Canary Party and all of the other great organizations that are out there that won't shut their mouths about this.
Right. Well, I'm calling for a lot of actions this month. I'm calling for weekly action. You, however, have the premier action for October 1st, and it's an all-day action, so I couldn't love this more. My friend Marcia McClelland, who is Twitter storming, she said to me, "I will not give you an interview until you get on Twitter." So I haven't had time, but I just want to say one thing she does, and we all have to give our best ideas, and this right. Twitter storm couldn't be more effective. My daughter, who works in mainstream media, came home the other day just to tell me that Rob Schneider was the number two issue on Twitter that day and probably has surpassed it to be number one. But
right.
What Marcia does, and I love her for this because she goes into the trenches. She is known for this. She goes to State Farm's page, and she posts. She goes to battle against the trolls, and she does it, you know, with, she's valiant. I love her. But one thing she posted the other day, which I thought was so important and perfect for an insurance company's page, is that unvaccinated children are far healthier than vaccinated children. So, in other words, if you're an insurance company and you don't want to have to pay out, you might consider having a spokesperson who endorses not vaccinating, you know?
Yeah. And, I mean, there were so many giant lies that were being told in response to the State Farm ad that was coming up. I mean, Rob Schneider has taken a lot of hits, and we sincerely appreciate him for standing his ground and making this this infinite a platform for us to be heard. He cares that deeply about this issue and all the related issues about these kids, about these parents, that he's willing to take that hit and keep going forward.
Yeah, and he's not an action hero in the movie. He's just a little comedy guy, and he's got more courage than Rambo.
Right. He is. I mean, he's standing out there on his own at this point, and I'm sure that it's a very, I don't know, it's a shaky ground to stand on. I'm sure that he's got agents and managers encouraging him to not do what he's doing, but in spite of all that, he is making himself front and center. We couldn't ask for a better effort.
Melissa and I both went to see him when he came to New York, and quite frankly, I'm not flush these days, so I saved all summer. I did nothing all summer so I could take my family to support Rob Schneider, and this is before the CDC whistleblower, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just really appreciate that he is taking a stand, and his video about autism is so good. It's just covers all the bases and really ties in all the responsible parties. So I value that, and I post it often. But we just, you know, saved up, and we made an event of it going to see him. Anyway, mm-hmm. I met Melissa Schneider there, and that was
no relation.
She's a lovely woman. She spoke a lot about stimming. The last time she called into the show, we had Autism Mother's Heart, Rob Schneider, and she was talking about stimming. I would like you to speak now, if you would, about your experience as a parent. We've had a lot of descriptions of the completely peculiar behavior of children who are afflicted with autism. And you can't say enough about it, but the best way to know it is to watch a video, which, like my friend Donna Lynn Marie, she made a video with her daughter in the video, and I'm encouraging people, if you do make a video, please put your kids in it. If you go to your legislator's offices, please bring your kids with you. When you go to the media and say, how dare you blackout this story, please bring your kids with you. You know what I'm saying? We have got to show people what's going on, because all the words in the world cannot compare to the experience. I challenge any legislator to spend half an hour in a room with an autistic child with the door locked.
Get my daughter on a really, really good day, and it would be, I would love to be a fly on the wall.
Right?
But that was the impetus behind the Hear This Well project, which is ongoing. I referred to it last month. You know, it started off as sort of the ice bucket challenge for autism, but we're hoping that it builds into being the AIDS quilt for autism, a collection of all these real stories of parents who are saying, my kid was developing completely typically. I took him in for a well child visit, and within a day, a month, 6 months, my child was gone. a completely different child took over, one that didn't talk, one that didn't look at me, one that didn't have any bowel control, one that stimmed for hours, like my daughter and like Melissa's son. But the Hear This Well campaign is ongoing. I love to refer people to that, especially when I'm on Twitter and I'm trying to get the attention of health reporters or any mainstream media correspondent that's ignored this story so far, is to challenge them to spend a day watching that YouTube channel and listening to all of these parents that are pleading with the public to understand where they're coming from, to understand what their life is now like, how it's not what they signed up for when they became a parent. It's not what they expected when their kid was 6 months, 8 months old and was completely normal. Watching those videos.
I know 200 adults who will never vaccinate. Would you like to know why? A friend of mine who has an autistic son, she and I met for lunch, and she said, oh gosh, I'm really, you know, hoping this goes well. She had bought him an immense amount of toys just to keep him distracted so she could have lunch. And this was only his second time in a restaurant. So he basically was having a meltdown. She had removed him 5 times before the drinks even arrived. We ordered them. She had already taken him outside 5 times before the drinks got there. And but basically, every time he would have an episode, I would just say unerringly, don't vaccinate, because the people's eyes were popping out of their heads. Their mouths were agape. And I just said, don't vaccinate, don't vaccinate. I was just looking at everyone saying, don't vaccinate, don't vaccinate. There are 200 people, I give you my solemn word, will never vaccinate after that performance. And she said, he's doing really well. I said, he is. And, you know, my sister was kind of off the wall, so it really didn't surprise me. But nonetheless, it was extreme. And my sister couldn't talk. And I actually thought, you know, there are some benefits to that. I never really thought about that. But she didn't know last time. Yeah, last time we went out, he did nothing but bang his head again. So she said, so he's really improving. I was like, wow, try to tell that to the 200 people whose eyes are popping and jaws dropped. But none of them will ever vaccinate, I guarantee it.
Well, I mean, that's boots on the ground, grassroots advocacy right there. And it's something that I'm hoping everybody picks up on and runs with, because that's what we need at this point. When we're, you know, we're kind of, autism parents are unique in that we're very vocal and we want to be these big activists, but we have our regular life of not being able to take our kids into public in many situations that prevents us from gathering together.
So that's our iBucket challenge. Our challenge is to legislators to spend an hour in a room, locked in a room with an autistic child. That's our challenge. Which
right.
legislator will step forward and spend an hour in a room with an autistic child? Because I wanted to hire a bus to take them to Letchworth Village, which is where my sister eventually lived. She lived in Willowbrook before that. In both places, I've come to find within the past couple of years, she's dead now since she was 23, but I came to find in the past couple of years that in both places, these children were used as guinea pigs for vaccine testing. So she came already hurt, and they continued to hurt her until they finally killed her. And they're very proud about the experiments they did on these children. And they, you know, extensive funding and lots of awards for the people who conducted them. But she's dead. And, of course, they had no idea what it could have been. Lord above, they just couldn't fathom it. So I'm just saying, I wanted to take a busload of the legislators here in New York State to Letchworth Village. I thought, one afternoon with these kids, and there's nothing we will ever need to say again. So now that they've closed all these large facilities and it's really kind of done more in group homes, I'm saying just spend an hour with an autistic kid, whoever, you know, because we will get the and bring your kids to your legislators, you know, but the challenge, got to make it an official challenge. 1 hour, that's all we want.
I think over the summer when we were lobbying against the Autism Cares Bill, reauthorization, there were quite a few parents who did take their kids in for legislator meetings. Of course, they were there the whole time with their kids, not alone. But it is
right.
it's a wonderful idea for people to understand that this isn't the gift that it's being publicized as being. This isn't some kid that's going to draw the New York City skyline from memory. Those are fantastic stories. I love them. And I know my kid is brilliant. She's extremely clever. She's witty. She's funny. But she's hurting. And I want that fixed. You know, this
right.
gift that she supposedly has. This gift that she supposedly has is making her life miserable, I would say 60-70% of the day. And in turn, it makes our lives very difficult because, as you touched on, we can't just go out in public to a restaurant. My oldest child doesn't get to go see movies in the theater. you know, all these things that people don't think about, these little things that add up, the effect that of the diagnosis on her siblings is huge. It's monumental, and it's something I can't even wrap my head around yet.
Years ago, we had a vaccine realities tour before I even knew the ingredients that were in the vaccines. You know, I just knew what was happening to the kids from talking to all those moms. So we went trying to stop our legislators from increasing and mandating vaccines. We went with the mothers across New York State. Well, one of the mothers got up and she was speaking and she was, you know, giving the litany of the experiences, et cetera. And when she was finished, I raised my hand. I said, I have a question. This is the cruelest question I could have asked, but she wasn't getting through. So I said, when's the last time you went to the movie? And she broke down and cried. And that's what got through. Like, I will do anything to get to reach parents. And I actually abused that woman by asking her this very simple question. But it's the crux of the issue. If you have a child who is vaccine injured, there is no life for you. You don't get to go to the movies. That's preposterous. Nobody can watch your child. And even if they can watch your child, the state has something to say about who can watch your child, right? I know it's like
right.
New York State.
And then who? I know I can't afford a babysitter. You know, my mother has uprooted herself and given up any kind of hope of retirement and bought a townhouse down the street from us because I can't get my daily tasks done between all the therapies, the fact that I can't go to the grocery store with her. You know, it's like playing a game of Tetris just to figure out where we're going to be at a certain time and who's going to help and who's going to watch and who's going to pick so-and-so
up. And talking
about
therapies. Does your insurance cover all the therapy your child requires?
My daughter has Social Security Medicaid, which covers her speech and occupational therapy, which I'm fortunate enough to have in the home. And then we just recently got group insurance coverage, which covers her ABA. But then you get into the whole, you know, I have to pay now for group insurance coverage, and then I'm paying co-pays, and it's more affordable than the alternative, obviously. It's much more affordable than paying out of pocket like we used to, but it's not like it's free, and there's a lot of it. And then there's gas, and then, you know, special diets.
So have you lost your home yet? I mean, everybody's lost their spouse and they've lost their home. What applies to you in that regard?
We are in the process of filing for bankruptcy.
Uh-huh.
Just waiting from the word back from the attorney about when he expects to file. We live in a home that's owned by my parents, fortunately. So we haven't paid rent in a couple of months. We can afford to pay it. Just today, we had to borrow money from our in-laws just to put gas in the vehicle so that I could get to my job and he could get to his job tomorrow. So it's devastating in so many ways people don't grasp.
And how much money did you receive from the vaccine compensation board? How much
That's
money did
funny.
They bestow upon you?
You're funny. That is actually to be determined. Oh, the toddler's up, but I am planning to pursue that. She's still within her time frame. Unlike many, many parents, unfortunately, who have exceeded the time frame just because of hesitancy or lack of understanding or lack of knowledge, we are still... We have until January to file. So we've been in contact with an attorney to get that done. And I'm sure it'll be another decade before I see anything.
Everybody who is listening, say a prayer for Michelle Snyder and her family that they, in fact, do get compensated. Now, let me tell you something about the Vaccine Compensation Board. I had read that someone had gotten a large award, as rare as that is. but it was for medical expenses. And I thought, are you literally constraining people who are losing their homes and need special products for their child to eat and therapies? Are you restraining them from spending the money where it's needed? It can only be used to be put back into the medical industrial complex's pocket. Is that the only way it can be spent?
I have heard that, and I've also heard of the struggles that people have had once they filed, the fact that they get death threats, hate mail. You know, there's the trolls are everywhere, and they're not afraid.
Well, this is, you know, I don't know a greater injustice. I just cannot conceive of one. Well, no, maybe when your child, you know, dies from vaccination and you get accused of shaken baby syndrome and you spend the rest of your life in jail, that's unjust, certainly. So that compares. But it's a different kind of tyranny. It's a tyranny. This is,
And it's all related. It's all one of the same huge problems that we're helping expose, and we hope that people listen.
Well,
all I want people to do is acknowledge.
Well, I wrote to the health committee of the New York City Council because I've had six events since they mandated the flu shot for the youngest annually. 6 months through 5 years, when they already have the largest basic vaccine schedule. They put on top of that an annual flu shot from 6 months to 5 years to attend daycare through kindergarten. So I have been trying, you know, I've met with them twice. I've invited them to six events. And by the way, they always send somebody to spy on me who doesn't say who they are or to listen at the door or to harass my husband or, you know, they know it's going on and they're basically trying to terrorize us in one fashion or another. But I keep doing it. I don't care. But I'm just saying that I had a point here. Oh, yes, I wrote to them and I said, you keep deferring to the health department, who's the one who voted up in an appointed panel under Mayor Bloomberg, who introduced this. And by the way, Bloomberg's got his name on Johns Hopkins Medical Center, and Johns Hopkins says that the flu shot is dangerous. So while he's calling the parents who are objecting crazies, who's crazy? Someone who gives millions of dollars to an organization who disagrees with him? Or people who are agreeing with that organization. How about that? So the health department, the health committee of New York City Council is deferring to the health department on all issues vaccines, even though they vote on other health-related issues. And I'm saying to them, the CDC whistleblower has, through his shame, something that seems to have eluded, through his shame, he has revealed that this organization is unethical, and it is therefore compromised on every level. It's not the only example. I've done two entire shows about, with completely different examples of how the CDC is either criminal or unethical. So I basically said to them, these people are compromised. We cannot rely on the health department, which is an arm of the CDC, to stop this. You, our legislators, who we voted into office, it is your responsibility, O health committee. I don't know, man. I'm out of ideas. You know, the CDC whistleblower, if we can't bring it home with this level of evidence, it is because of everybody's criminality.
Right. Everyone is complicit if they stay silent, or if they, even worse than staying silent, if they come out to cover the story and twist it and turn it around on us, which has happened already, and we have to expect that that's going to continue. The fight that we're fighting is against so much misinformation, so much slander, and judgment.
Well, you know, we can sue the media. We can sue the media. There's nobody says we can't sue them. Obviously, the doctors and the legislators and the pharmaceutical companies, they've all been exonerated, but we can sue the media for disinformation. Now, the government is allowed to disinform us. There's actually an executive order that says they can disinform us. But the media itself is still responsible.
It's unfortunate how deep it goes, though, with where they're getting their information and from whom and why.
Well, these agencies are corporations doing business, and you can look them up on Dun & Bradstreet. They all have to turn a profit.
I'm picking my daughter up from therapy now. We were just talking about therapies.
Well, tell people a little bit more about your daughter and how her stimming, how does she stim?
Oh, good job. There is a lot of repetitive screaming, humming. She used to groan for hours. She would just sit on the floor, groan and hum. But now it's turned into, thank you, turned into more of a screaming fit. And being in the car is particularly deafening. But she does a lot of sensory play with poop. Oh, she's got a history of that. She tantrums a lot, and she is extremely inflexible. She has a lot of OCD tendencies, but they're not predictable. So I describe it to people as though, you know, it's not like she just refuses every single day not to go onto a particular tear or something. It changes every day, and I have no idea what to expect each and every moment. And if it's something that she's really, really fixated on and it doesn't happen the way that she wants it to happen, yet she can't communicate that, it turns into a full-blown tantrum, complete with violence, self-injury, aggression towards her younger brother, whose arm currently is completely bruised from bites and pinches and kicks and hits.
Well, my sister used to drag her younger sister, which is also my older sister, but around the house by the hair of the head like she was a doll.
Yeah.
You know, really that much of a disconnect that you don't know the difference between a doll and a living, breathing younger sister, you know? And she wasn't doing it with malice. She was just doing it, you know? Yeah, so you're the kind of behavior you're speaking about, this is exactly why we need to lock legislators in a room. One legislator, one kid, that's it. You don't need a room full of them. Just one child will be sufficient to wake you up to what is. They'll walk out pale and probably just keep walking. It's like, well, if I have to write legislation like this, which is going to imperil my life, I'm just going to have to just walk directly into the ocean because I can't deal with that and I can't even deal with it. You know, the whole thing is there are all these bullies out there who are trying to trying to hurt our children to begin with, and then prevent any level of helping our children. And, you know, this vaccine compensation board, you and I pay into it. 75% of every vaccine we purchase goes to that fund, so it's not even their money they're being paid.
Right. And it's a cash cow. The amount of money that the IRS is making off of that trust fund is eye-opening. I mean, $750 million a year approximately that they're making, why would they have any motivation to dismantle it?
Well, I understand there are only two people who review the cases there. I don't know if that's true, but I heard it from a very, very knowledgeable source that there are only two
it's a
people
handful.
Reviewing the cases. So by the time
definitely don't get
paid, this isn't going to happen overnight. Your kid may be 14 years old by the time you see any justice.
think most people, it's like 7 to 10 years before they get any sort of resolution and dismiss it outright.
Did your doctor ever apologize to you? Because we can't sue them. We'd like an apology, though. Did he ever apologize?
No, and I actually didn't pursue that. Shortly after she started to experience symptoms of the vaccine reaction, we lost insurance, and so we just didn't see a doctor for many, many months, which has been to our detriment as far as records are concerned. But
did you lose your insurance because you couldn't afford to pay it, or did you lose your insurance because now your child was injured and they wanted to drop you?
It was because we couldn't afford to pay it. Private insurance was going to be $600 a month, and that was getting us basically nothing. I think one well child visit a year, and then anything beyond that, you just had to pay out of pocket. So it was a waste of money. And my husband's employer didn't provide any group insurance. So I did run into her doctor recently at a Whole Foods, and we talked for a bit.
I'm glad he's eating organic.
You know, he and I had a good relationship, and he actually listened to my concerns. I decided when she was very, very young, she never had Hep B, and I decided that I would do a delayed elective schedule based on a doctor's, not the Dr. Sears book, but a different book, which I read cover to cover, as well as reading Neil Dean Miller's book. But he and I agreed upon a delayed and selected schedule. And so I don't have the anger towards him that I know other parents do, because I was never fully coerced. It was a decision that I owned and that he agreed to implement. So.
I see. Well, the thing is, when doctors offer these, the crime is in the offering. That's
right.
The fraud. It's in the offer, not in the acceptance. Because we are told they are your trusted family physician. We are given this term, the term on all the commercials. Ask your trusted family physician. I guess I should trust him because the TV is telling me he's my trusted family physician. I can't think of anyone I trust less.
Right.
So the crime is in the offering. And I've had explaining to someone the other day that, you know, my child was vaccinated with the doctor had his back to me and vaccinated my kid. And I didn't know till he was patting his arm what had transpired. So it was after the fact, and another doctor lied and said it was one of the required ones for school when it was the HPV and completely optional. So, you know, I've had every experience in terms of how they've deceived me. But just in offering it is the crime. They know better. I had one doctor say, are you sure you want it? And I said, well, why are you offering it if it's not to the benefit of my child? You know?
Yeah.
So we are expecting to trust these people. So when they offer something, you expect it will benefit your child.
I mean, that's absolutely correct. And I do understand that perspective. You know, when I look at the spectrum of different reactions people have gotten from their practitioners, or the way that their practitioners behaved in either coercing parents to vaccinate, or threatening them, or doing it behind their back without consent, I consider myself fairly fortunate. I'm not saying I'm the luckiest person on earth. Obviously, she's suffering because of the decision. But I do feel rather fortunate that I didn't get that.
I'd like you to Twitter something for me tonight. Twitter,
sure.
Don't go near pediatricians. Don't go near veterinarians. Don't go near hospitals or schools or the military. Anybody who has a needle or requires you take a needle to participate, stay completely clear of these people. And people, I can't afford to homeschool. I said, no, what you can't afford is vaccine-injured child. whatever you think you can't afford in terms of your salary, I can't imagine how much you would make to compensate for the fact that once your child is vaccine injured, everything goes south when it comes to money.
Mm-hmm. We've lost it all.
Well, I tried to get this woman who's working as a healthcare worker, and every year she gets sick as a dog from this flu shot, and I'm waiting for her to get Guillain-Barré, you know? I said, when are you going to go on strike? When are you going to get your fellow workers, who at this point understand what you've been saying for 3 years running, to stand with you and say, we're leaving. We're not taking it anymore, you know? And so I said, she's like, I can't afford a lawyer. I said, well, you know, you've missed so many weeks of work. How much did that cost you? You know, I was trying to get her to get a letter written by a lawyer to her hospital, and she's like, oh, I can't afford that. I said, it's not a lawsuit, it's a letter. I said, whatever that's going to cost you, it's going to be less than you're going to lose by missing out on work.
Mm-hmm. And then possibly losing everything.
And losing
you know, the cumulative effect of vaccine reactions, one after the other after another, they're just going to get worse.
We all have to reevaluate everything. We're being forced to reevaluate our livelihoods. A friend of mine who was an emergency worker, she moved people's bodies onto, you know, she'd pick up people who were sick and put them on a truck. She's a nurse, actually, but that was her job. And she had to take a triple shot of the Hep B, and then she developed fibromyalgia, and then she had to quit her job. So the actual vaccine that was required for her to keep her job is what made her lose her job. So I don't know how to tell people this any more clearly.
I think that the estimates just for a kid with autism, the treatment and care for a child with autism over a lifetime is over $3 million, and that's a conservative estimate. It doesn't include a lot of the alternative therapies. So when you're looking at 1% to 2% of the population per current CDC numbers, costing families and the public $3 million per year over a lifetime. And some kids are more severely affected, and obviously the $3 million is an average. So it's completely astounding, and people don't understand the breadth of the issue until they see the numbers in front of them. This many kids are affected.
Well, Kim Spencer of the Thinking Moms Revolution said that 1 in 2 children now are chronically ill.
Yes. And there's an MIT professor who estimates that by the year 2025, 1 in 2 children will be diagnosed with autism. This is what we're looking at if we don't put an end to this.
Right, and we have to drive home the point that these children will never have an independent future. Exactly who will be left to care for them?
And what happens to the parents and the siblings, the families that go through this? They compare what autism mothers go through to what combat soldiers go through mentally. That's day in and day out for year after year after year. You're going to start seeing all of these terrible stories that we already see. You're going to start seeing more and more of parents involved in murder-suicides or, you know.
Alex Bortolakis and his
correct.
Family and the desperation that was entrenched there. Oh, boy. Well, if you live
where I'm at, I can't imagine that sort of desperation. I can't imagine what they must have been thinking or feeling at the time, but I can't imagine things getting that bad at some point.
We have 1 minute left. I'm going to
say,
if you live in New York City, contact me at either of the links below, and please join in the Twitter storm tomorrow with Michelle Schneider and Melissa Schneider and a group of other people who are determined to stop this. Please give your contact, if you will.
You can email me at michelleanc2014@gmail.com. You can find me all over Facebook.